Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
Mr. Wall, it's time. It's time for another edition of ASA Fastlane, man. Welcome, race fans, to another edition of the show that tackles the ASA late models. And tonight we're going to be focusing on the South. And Terry, before we get started here, tell us a little bit. We have a new sponsor. We don't have the commercial prepared yet. It's being prepared as we speak. But tell us a little bit about Five Star Racing Bodies.
Yeah, Five Star Racing Bodies is out of Wisconsin. And they've been in existence since 1979. Corey Schultz is the marketing and advertising director of Five Star Bodies, who's graciously helping us out with the ASA Fast Lane. They produce fiber glass racing bodies and graphite racing bodies, and they have seven different colors. They have late models and modifieds, and they also make some parts for the Nextel Cup cars, which I didn't know, but they do. They make parts for the Nextel Cup cars also.
And when you look around the ASA series, you see a lot of five-star racing bodies.
A lot of five-star racing bodies. And if you want to contact Five Star, go to fivestarbodies.com, and or you can go to Karnak, K-A-R-N-A-C.com, and click on the five-star advertising, and you go straight to Five Star's website.
All right. Jack Smith with you. Terry, how you doing tonight, man?
Doing great. Doing great. Looks like we're going to get a little thunderstorm here tonight. But other than that, everything is just absolutely fantastic.
Well, you know, in the Deep South, things like that happen, you know. And we're coming to you from the Deep South and the Mid-South. And tonight we're going to talk to son of a former ASA standout. Mike Cope used to race in the old ASA days and was a standout in that series. And his son, Travis Cope, who is beginning to make a name for himself around the Sunshine State, tackled his first ASA race at New Smyrna Speedway and had a top 10 finish. So we're going to be talking to him. We're going to talk to Gary Montag, who is an official with the ASA late model series. And we're going to talk to a media guy. Let's see what he has to say. A man from the media.
A media guy? What's that?
Yeah, I guess we'll find out. We'll have to ask him what he's known as Mr. Media, so we'll have to find out what that all means.
Okay.
But I'll tell you, Terry, it was a pretty pretty interesting day. Of course, it was hotter than every expletive deleted I can think of at New Smyrna Speedway. When we pulled up to the track, it was at around 11:30. It was 90 degrees out in the cow field, the cow pastures, and on the track it was every bit of 120.
Wow.
Yeah, it was one of those hot, brutal June days in Florida. And but thankfully, the humidity wasn't anywhere near as bad as it could be. I mean, it was bad for the folks not used to it, but it wasn't anywhere near what we can get down here.
Right.
But I tell you, it was an absolutely awesome event. And Rick Angie's Real Racing USA caught up with General Manager Terry Roberts after the race. And this is a little bit of what they had to say.
Rick Angie's with Real Racing USA down here in the pits with Terry Roberts, general manager of New Smyrna Speedway. The first Florida 100 ASA race completed. Terry, awesome show tonight.
Yeah, Rick, it was. It was a great show. The car count was great. We had 38 ASA cars. We had just a great turnout and great fan support, great support from the racers. It was Crane Cam night here, and, you know, they had a great turnout from Crane Cam, and it was just, you know, a very, very great event for us.
There was a lot of caution flags, but the crew here at New Smyrna really handled it good tonight.
Well, you know, I'm proud of our crew here. They know how to get out there and get the track ready, and they get a lot of training during speed weeks.
Terry, ASA puts on an awesome show. Great crew. You think they're going to be back?
Well, you know, we just finished the race, and we'll just have to see see how it goes. You know, I think it was a very awesome event, and you know, I think it was it has great great possibilities. I really enjoyed the racing. The what little bit I got to see of it, you know, I don't get to see a whole lot of the races, but what I did get to see was good, and they put on a good show.
Terry, thanks a lot. Once again, great show. Great show put on by the New Smyrna Speedway.
Well, Rick, we appreciate you and Jack and Bill being over here and streaming and streaming it out where people at home could hear it. And, you know, we look forward to doing it again, and we look forward to in here in about 10 days doing the Clyde Hart Memorial 125 for the Sunoco Sunbelt Series and the Advanced Auto Parts Pro Trucks. You know, and then we move right on, and before long, it's time for the Governor's Cup, and then we're back into the World Series.
Looking forward to that Governor's Cup and the Clyde Hart Memorial, and, of course, the World Series of Asphalt. Terry, once again, thanks a lot.
Thank you guys for being here. Really enjoyed it.
All right. Terry Roberts, general manager of New Smyrna Speedway. Once again, the conclusion of the Florida 100 ASA race here at New Smyrna Speedway.
It was a great event. Brandon Johnson, of course, everybody following this series knows by now that Brandon Johnson just took the bull by the horns, led every lap, took the lead on the started on the outside pole, jumped out in front of Travis Cope, and Travis started on the pole, jumped out in front, led every lap. Nobody could get near him. Jeff Choquette tried to follow his same line he did at various times. Jeff said he couldn't do it, couldn't do it, and it was pretty exciting. Pretty exciting.
I've been reading up a little bit on Karnak, and they had quite a few cautions that night. That's something we might get into later. So why that are your guests feel like there were so many cautions at this race?
Well, we'll ask them, but you know, anybody that's familiar with New Smyrna knows it brings out the best and quite often the worst in drivers' talents. It is one wicked racetrack, and there's there's just something about that place that collects cars up against the wall. I mean, Dylan Oliver found out very quickly how that track can rear up and bite you. Coming off turn four in his qualifying effort, he hit the wall, slammed upside down, and slid all the way down the front straight on his roof the first time in his life, his 17 years that he's been around, not racing, just that's how long he's been around.
Right.
And first time on his roof, he slid all the way down there, and thankfully he was not hurt. The car was just mangled, and, of course, they had to rip it apart to get him, you know, cosmetically had to rip it apart to get him out of the car, and amazingly they put it back together.
Yeah, I was reading an article that Rick wrote, and I was amazed that we were able to put that car back on the track the same night.
Yeah, they used
down like that.
Yeah, man, they used every color of duct tape in the book to get that thing back together. They had pink and yellow and red and black and gray and you name it. They used it all.
90 mile per hour tape, but now they go about 120. So,
yeah, and I'll tell you, that's it was wild. And then I'll tell you, Jeff Choquette. Now I'll tell you, and he told us after the race, so we asked him. You know, he made contact with that wall during qualifying, too, and he admitted that if he didn't have the dirt experience behind him, dirt racing, you know, he started in dirt late models, and if he didn't have that experience, he wouldn't have been able to save that car because he hit the wall, and we were standing behind him at the top of turn four, right directly behind him as he made contact with the wall, and you could see he was doing a little dirt driving.
Right, right.
It was pretty wild. But go ahead.
I think that, there were 39 cars show up for 24 positions or 28 positions, and like we've been talking in our past shows, that the competition level in the ASA series is tremendous.
Well, it is. There's no question about that. And one of the things we're going to talk to this media guy about is, he was not so up on this whole deal. And, he wasn't, like a lot of people, he was a little skeptical about the ASA. As a matter of fact, when we first got there, he saw that when the cars finally came out on the track for practice in the afternoon, he remarked, "Jack, these cars are slow." I said, yeah, well, just hang on. You'll see. But I'll tell you what, Terry, why don't we take a quick break and then come back with our ASA official.
All right, we'll do it. Thanks, right. Jack.
CarNet.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNet.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNet.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNet gets it done.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Now, we're speaking here with Gary Montag, who is an official with the ASA Late Model Series, on his first, coming off his first weekend with the series.
What was your official duty? I know there's a lot of unofficial duties, but what was your official duty?
Well, I tell you, they worked us pretty hard, and it was a hot day. But officially, I was the head start of the flagman for the race this week.
Oh, okay.
I've been the flagman for many, many years, and I really enjoy it. And it was nice that they gave me the opportunity to do it again.
Now, Gary, tell us a little bit about your background working in racing, the business end of racing.
Well, of course, like many officials, I came out of the racing end themselves. I drove myself for a good 15 years or so. And when it ended, I became a flagman at DeSoto Speedway. And my good friend Bert Thomas was the head flagman at the time, and I was the backstreet flagman. And I worked my way through the ranks into the flag stand, replacing him, actually. And we developed a bond, and he moved on to Fast Truck and invited me to do a one-time deal at Sebring for him with Fast Truck, and they ended up being a permanent job for about 4.5 years.
Was that your trip down there to Sebring? That was the first time the trucks had been down to Sebring? That's the event, I think.
I don't know if it was their first.
Yeah, I remember that. We stood down in that because they altered the course for that event a little bit, and we stood down there in that one elbow turn. That's the only place we stood all day, just taking picture after picture of them trucks trying to make that turn. It was the funniest thing you ever seen.
Yeah, and they broke a lot of transmissions trying to get that course.
Yeah, that's cool. And then,
did they have any special deals for that? Because obviously the fast trucks aren't used to road courses or any kind of high RPM. So they did have a special gear for that show?
Well, I know that they were changing them, and if anybody's familiar with Fast Truck, they changed the whole rear end housings when they changed gears. And
right.
The majority of the team there were carrying three minimum rear ends, trying to get the right gear to make those trucks go.
Yeah, that was wild. So what do you think of the ASA deal now that you've got your feet wet?
Oh, I think it was phenomenal. I I haven't been on that level of organization in all of my career. And from the using the template to having their own equipment and very well greased, you know, well organized, I really, really enjoyed it. It was phenomenal to be part of it, and I would love to do a lot more of it, you know.
Now, what were your duties again? I was napping at the wheel there.
Well, I was the head. My main job was the head starter, and I did all the flagging for the night. I did the qualifying and the race. But early on the day, working with the rest of the guys that I had met for the first time, I actually ran the scales and helped in the tech area, and that was a blast.
Yeah, and we had, unfortunately, we found out today, the news was released today, we had one DQ. That's the first in the South this year. There was an incident in the Challenge Series earlier in the year, but that was the first. Jason Boyd was disqualified after finishing third.
That's the first I heard that. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, they took the motors top.
Yes, they did. It was a long night. They pulled the motors. It was 2:30 in the morning when they got them out.
Yeah, we had a late night because the first of all, there was the red flag there when Tommy King whacked the wall pretty good, and the set things back about 25 minutes. But yeah, they took the top three motors, and apparently the number 26 of Jason Boyd, who had finished third and really had put on a pretty good show for the fans there, coming from the rear after having a flat tire, they disqualified him, so he's done for the year.
Yeah, it was really pretty cool. And I feel bad for Jason Boyd if that's the way it went with him, because he's a really great guy and a good competitor, and he's a very, very talented young man that can really drive a car.
And there's no doubt he can wheel that thing around, especially New Smyrna. He just got that place down.
Isn't Jason Boyd's dad an engine builder?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well. I didn't want to go any further with that.
Terry, that was a leading question now. Quit that. But
one of the questions I had was when that young gentleman flipped and slid by you, what in the world was you thinking when that car was sliding on its roof by you?
Well, I'm going to tell you what. That young man had the wheels turned right coming off turn four, and he never pulled them back to the left, and the car climbed the wall and came up the fence and was turning upside down. And what I was doing was life preservation. I was flipping the switches to get the green off and to get the red on and get his back as far as I could in the flag stand to get out of the way.
Yeah, it scared him a little bit, too. As let's take a listen to what Dylan Oliver had to say as he was getting his car prepared to go back out on the track to run the race after tearing it up.
Hey, we're here at New Smyrna Speedway with Thrillin' Dylan. I'm telling you, man, driver number 33, late model, you put on a show during qualifying, probably a show or during a qualifying round. You probably didn't want to put that show on, did you?
Exactly. I'm going to change that Thrilling Over the Door to Flipping Dylan Oliver.
Yeah, now you're from Kentucky, is that right?
Yes, sir. Actually, my crew chief, I moved over to Mooresville, North Carolina with him to meet some people. We finished third in ASA points last year and kind of got screwed over with a bad call in ASA the first race at Bronson, was running fourth and ended up finishing 11th, and come from 21st and finished fifth at Cordell, so maybe we can pull a Dale Earnhardt and finish a 100-lap race with a tore-up race car.
All right, so you slid all the way down the front straight at New Smyrna Speedway, one of the roughest racetracks to race at in the state of Florida. Your car was, you were upside down the whole way. What was that ride like?
It scared me to death, actually. I've never been on my top. My first thing that I thought to do was shut the motor off, and I got it shut off and slid all the way down the front stretch, and I was pushing the pedal through the front of the car, thinking it was going to stop it, but I was on my top. I wasn't doing any good.
Gotcha. Now, how old are you, Ben?
I'm 17.
17? That's cool. Well, I'll tell you what. The fact that you've got this car back here ready to roll is absolutely, everybody around here is the talk. You're the talk of this deal here tonight, man. Now, you got to give something to your crew, huh?
Hopefully we can put on a show. Yeah, I got to thank my dad, Derek Ramey, Moore's family, David and Jeremy Wilbert, Tyler Sladen, all of them have done a real great job. They put the car back together. I've been running around getting parts, and I got to put all my thanks to those guys. They're the guys.
All right. Dylan Oliver from New Smyrna Speedway.
Been in those circumstances before, but you always, it scares you. It does a little bit, but and got out of the way, and glad that he was okay. And it was neat that he was able to get the car ready to actually run the race, and he ran fairly decent in the race.
Sure did. I think he finished 16th, which now I guess he would have finished 15th, and he was the last car on the he was last of the cars on that were still running, but he finished the race, and that in itself was an accomplishment for him.
Yeah, man. Me and Jack were talking on our intro to the show about there was 12 caution flags.
Yes, there was.
I know you built your arm up a little bit throwing that yellow flag.
Yes, but, I did.
But I was wondering, in your opinion, what do you think attributed to all the cautions? Was it the new surface being so fast, or some of the younger drivers being inexperienced, or it was just flat-out hard racing?
Well, I think you touched on two very important ones. I think a lot of inexperienced young drivers, I think, in close quarters, as well as, you're right, the new surface picked the speeds up a little bit and underestimating it. But I think that with time, the maturity with these young drivers and the talent they got, and they got great equipment, they will all be successful. But at this stage of the game, they're still in the process of learning themselves and maybe put themselves in a precarious situation, not having enough patience to get themselves to the end, you know. And I think that's with any of the seasoned drivers will tell you that you got to just ride for a while and maybe not get yourself in those circumstances.
Well, that was like Tommy King said, you know, when he was asked after he had collected himself and took about a half an hour to get his breath back, his first comment was, you know, it was my fault for being back here. I didn't qualify good enough to stay in. You know, to be it, and so he brought it on himself is what he was talking about, you know, because you get, you know, towards the back of the field, and most of the cautions in the races that I've seen, this the third one this year, I've been to all three of the Southern Division races, and in all three of them there was a lot of cautions, but most of them were in the back of the field where the less experienced guys were, and guys trying to maybe make up a little more than what they had to do, than their equipment was capable of.
Right. And I agree with that. And Tommy is a talented driver in his own right. And he comes from good teaching from his father. And he likes to drive clean. And that's what I like about Tommy. But you're right. He didn't qualify very well, and he really was in the hornet's nest and at bidding.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, are you going to travel to all of the Southern Division, or what's in store for Gary Montag?
Well, for Gary Montag, I'm going to probably do one more deal, the DeSoto Speedway deal, and then the future is up to them, ASA, and if I have a schedule that I can work my regular job around, I would be more than honored to be with them full-time next year, you know, because I think it's a really great organization, and I think it's just building and going to be stronger every week. The personnel they got that I worked with, one person in particular, Chris, is just a phenomenal lady. She just, what she does just surprised me. I mean, she was phenomenal. So, and not to go with, and one thing I liked about the series that really impressed me was the biggest struggle you see as racers is getting cars in lineups after the yellow. And we all admit that. And with their spotters corral, the way they do it so smoothly, that's not an issue. And it was very nice to hear it on the radio.
Yeah, was there what most surprised you, Gary?
As far as what?
Well, I mean, not having been there, not having done this, what was the thing that you really didn't know what to expect other than maybe what Bert Thomas had maybe given you a heads up on, but you know, when you get in there and get it involved, and you look back on it, what was the things that stood out as maybe it was a little different than you expected?
I can't put my finger on one thing.
Yeah.
But I think I got to say the trust that they put in me in any position was a surprise because I was an unknown. And every one of them, the officials, including the owner, Ron, really took me in, and that really caught me by surprise, and I really, really appreciated it.
That's
well,
cool.
I think probably your mentor, Bert Thomas, gave him a heads up on you.
Well, Bert's an amazing man himself, you know. I can't say enough about Bert. He's a great, genuine, knows what he's doing, and he's so level-headed. I mean, he's probably one of the best race directors, or the best that I've ever worked under. And he's so good with the racers, you know, which is very important when it comes to, you know, making decisions and then try to defuse any issues or situations that happen.
He is one of the most professional people that I've had the pleasure of dealing with in racing, and that word just always is the word. There's one word I used to, if you said one word describe Bert Thomas, it's professional.
Absolutely.
And
how far back do you go with Bert? I mean, I know you all worked together at DeSoto. The history.
I was a hot-headed race car driver that drove in street stocks and sportsmen, and Bert was the policeman that kept me calm down in my race car. And that's how I met him, because he was an official. And I developed a relationship with him that way. And he is just he's actually changed me as a person and made me better for just knowing him.
That's a high compliment.
Absolutely. So we're looking forward later in the year. You'll be back in the working with the ASA. Your next step will be at the Bradenton, Florida DeSoto Super Speedway race.
I hope so. I really do. It was the indication, but of course it's up to Ron, the owner, and
sure,
and work schedules.
That's cool. And boy, I tell you what, that's going to be a pretty. We're going to talk to the announcer at DeSoto Speedway here in a little bit, but that's going to be one heck of a race too, man. I'll tell you, it's
absolutely.
That track is one of the best racing. I mean, you know that probably as good as anybody. That's one of the best racing surfaces around. I mean, the track itself is just made for short track stock car racing as we have it today.
Well, I hope like heck that we don't end up with beating our record of 12 cautions at this last race.
and it could happen.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very, very fast, racetrack.
And you put 24 late models on that track.
28.
28 late models. I'm sorry. 28 late models on that track with the age of some of the drivers and the inexperience and then some of the experienced drivers. I would imagine that you might. It's at 100-lap race, Gary.
Yes, that's my knowledge, yes.
100-lap race, I would imagine you might equal the cost.
Well, you know, the last time that I remember that there was an ASA race there was the old ASA series.
Yep.
Jimmy Johnson.
Jimmy
Johnson, if I'm not mistaken, set fast time.
Yes, he did in the Pennzoil car.
That's right. And I believe, I don't know how many cautions they had, but it had to be close to 12. I mean, Butch Miller and all them guys tore up cars.
Well, if you remember right, the track came apart.
That's right, turn three.
The track came apart, and they were literally racing on an apron.
Yeah, it was coming apart lap by lap.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was a really hot day that day. I was there, too.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was a really hot day that day.
That's right.
Yeah, it was an amazing, amazing day. I'll never forget it.
Yeah, that was the last time. I believe that was the last time the ASA was, as a series, was there.
Yeah, that was the old ASA.
Yeah, it should be pretty cool. Well, Gary, thanks a lot for spending some time with us, man. And I hope you get a chance to do this more because, Bert's taught you well.
Well, I've tried to pick up everything and brought my own sway to the thing of my own. As we go, and I've always had his confidence, and that's what makes me confident.
You know? Yeah, well, absolutely, man, because you two definitely, you approach what you do with a very professional attitude and demeanor, and most of the racing folks really do appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
All right, man.
Nice meeting you, Gary.
You too.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, Gary Montag, and we'll let Gary
Thank
go.
You.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, so we let Gary go there. And, Terry, we'll have to take a quick break here and be right back. We're going to take a quick break. This is going to be a, what do you call it? A quick caution.
A quickie caution.
All right.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
I'm Racing Movie Man at USA Speedway, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Truly the long arm of the law at the movie theater. You and a velvet rope are all that keep the huddled masses from a free flick.
You're the man now.
Ever vigilant, you boldly demand to see our stub. Getting a little personal, don't you think?
Can I see your stub?
Who's the guy in the military-style uniform that would make any third-world dictator proud? Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper. That's who.
Salute the general.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Stubmaster, because you really tear it up.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
All right, welcome back. We're back here with myself, Jack Smith, and Terry Wall, and we've been joined with one of the top 10 finishers from the Florida 100 at New Smyrna Speedway, Travis Cope. Welcome to ASA Fastlane, Travis.
Well, thank you very much, Jack. It's a pleasure.
Cool. So, Terry, have you you used to follow a guy named Mike Cope, I believe, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Mike Cope, well, that'll be telling Travis's dad my age. But, yeah, Mike Cope and I go way back. My most memorable moment of Mike Cope was at the Nashville or the All-American 400. He did quite well in the race. And I was listening to Mike's headset or what, radio.
Yeah.
Some of the things that was said on that radio we can't share with the public.
That's all right. Yeah, well, a little lineage here. Travis, you're the son of Mike Cope, and now you're in the ASA, and this was your first event. You ended up with an eighth-place finish, I guess, here.
Yes, sir. It's a first event, first time actually on New Smyrna Speedway since it's been paved, and I had a blast. ASA, never been with the series before, but went around the nation actually with my dad with the national tour they had at one time, and races ASA race, and it was awesome, you know, from the whole ASA staff to just the racing in general, it was great.
How old are you, Travis?
I'm 19 years old.
19, and now you've been racing late models here and super late models in Florida for the last 2 or 3 years?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit of how you got started in racing and a little bit about your background here.
Just how I got started was with my dad. I traveled the country. I went to all the races I could, and that's about it. I guess I'm a third-generation driver, and I've just been around it all my life and love the sport. And I actually started racing dirt bikes about around 2000, and raced a couple years of that, then jumped in one of my dad's old ASA cars and rode around Bronson Motor Speedway here, this track that we own, and that's really how I got started. From there, we built a limited late model, and that was that.
Now, you say this is your first ASA race.
Yes.
Are you all planning on some more ASA races this year? And possibly going for Rookie of the Year next year, or what's your plans as far as the ASA series goes?
As far as the ASA series, we've just now planned to run as much as we can. The only other races we want to hit is there's a couple 200 lappers here in Lakeland, and with a super late model. But other than that, most of the ASA races, we Gary Grubbs, my sponsor with Grubbs Emergency Services, we talked to him about it, and we wanna try to do most of the ASA races. We've missed two so far this year, but since we enjoyed this one so much and we ran good, we wanna keep doing it.
Who was your that sponsor you mentioned?
Grubbs Emergency Services.
Oh, okay, Grubbs Emergency Services.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay, is that a is that a local company around Bronson?
Yes, sir. They're out of actually Brooksville, Florida,
mm-hmm.
But they do work across the country.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
Now, do you know how many? Are you not going to run for rookie year next year? You're going to forsake that to run as many ASA races this year as you can.
Yes, sir. I guess that. I mean, we're just going to run as many ASA races this year, and. Yeah, I guess I'll give that up because we believe we'll
yeah.
I mean, just, you know, get experience with the series and
seat time.
How they run things and exactly seat times, and maybe next year go for championship.
There you go. And now you started on the pole, which means that you qualified pretty darn good.
Yes, sir.
You went, what, seventh or eighth, something like that?
Eighth, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we run pretty good there. There's a couple guys faster than us, but it was actually a new car. First time I've been on the track. I was really happy, and Jason Boyd actually qualified in the pole there, and he drew me the pole position, and that's where we started.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, what is the biggest win? I mean, you've won some pretty good races here in the state of Florida in. What would you consider one of your bigger wins?
I'd have to say Lakeland, just because before we won there, we had a lot of hard luck there. That was one of my biggest wins, the ones I enjoyed the most.
Yeah, well, I say so. Anytime you can win at Lakeland, it's got to be a big win. That's
it,
one.
It was pretty neat.
Yeah.
Fun racetrack.
That was the Super Lates, or was that in the Goodyear Challenge?
That was just a limited car, the Goodyear.
Yeah, the Goodyear Challenge late model series.
Yes, sir. I've yet to win a Super Late model race, but I've captured many poles, and, we're still working on that.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
so. 19, Travis.
Yeah, yeah, that's what everybody keeps telling me.
You know. Well, it's true, and you didn't start, you're not one of a lot of these guys been driving. They might be your age, and they got 15 years experience behind the wheel because they started driving when they were 4 and 5 years
yeah.
old.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have as much experience as them, but, I've been around it a while, and I'd like to consider myself one of those guys, but.
Well, there's no doubt about it. You are, and I'll tell you something. You know, when you got your dad, your dad experience and his dad, and there's this other Cope too, Jimmy Cope. Uncle Jimmy, no slouch either, right? Yeah, that's pretty cool. And those guys your whole family helps you and supports you. I'm sure.
Yeah, they're all backing me 100%. That's a lot.
What's your next ASA race you plan on running there, Travis?
Birmingham.
Yep.
Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh, you're going to Birmingham.
Yes, sir. We're actually in the process of getting the car back ready to go there.
Yeah.
And that's it. Birmingham. We were up in the air about it before this race, but now we're definitely going to travel and getting everything ready for it.
So you guys, I would have to say, were your team. You did your you met your expectations, or maybe even exceeded them.
Yes, sir. No doubt there. Because. We came in, like I said, new car, and we were just hoping to, get some experience with ASA and see how everything worked out. But the car was rocket fast all night. We had a flat tire there, probably about the first red flag. After the first red flag, we had a flat tire, and but we got the car back on the track after that and went through the field and gained a lot of experience from it. And it was a lot of fun and really enjoyed it.
Well, that was... You just said the bottom line, Travis. You had a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, no doubt. That's one thing. We come to the racetrack and we do the best we can. We try super super hard to get the car going fast, and my team is 100% behind me. And it gets intense sometimes, but that's what we got to keep drilling in our heads: is if you're not having fun, then you shouldn't even be here. So we try to have as much fun as we can, and it helps when the car's going fast. So.
Well, now you started on the pole. And as you went down to turn one, Brandon Johnson I don't know. He was a rocket ship right off the bat, wasn't he? He just took the lead. And...
Yes, sir, pretty much. He just beat me the first turn, basically. Then Jeff Jaquette there followed him in front of me, and I just rode in third for a while. Then when I got my chance, I got back in the second by passing Jaquette on the outside there, and rode until the right front flat. But the car was fast. It was fun.
Yeah. So then you had to come from, you came in under the caution there?
Yes, sir, came in under the caution. And because after that, after the right front flat, it was just going down, and I got railroaded by a couple cars, and I was just stuck on the outside. Then I don't know, me and somebody else got together, and I spun out and came in the pit. I had a little bit of damage. The left front fender was tore off. And after that, we found out that for sure the right front tire was going down and had a hole in it. So we switched right front tires and went back out with the body damage and the whole deal, and was able to get back from the last car and lead lap to, I think the farthest we got up was six. So.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's really good.
Have you ever been to the Birmingham track, Travis?
No, sir. My dad has a long time ago, back in the 90s, and we're looking forward to go there. Nobody I know has really been there recently, so.
So you're not going to go test or anything? You just show up and go give it a shot?
Yes, sir. It was kind of short notice to go there and test, but we're definitely going to go there with our guns loaded and have everything ready so we can get as much practice in as we can.
That's pretty cool. Now, what do you do when you're not in the race car on race day, and you know what do you do during the week?
I work here at the shop. Shop's in Bronson, Florida, right at the Speedway, and work here every day. We're working on Jay Middleton's ARCA car. Local driver Mac Johnson. We maintain all his cars. Very good guy Jay Marshall, who runs a SCCA car. We work on his stuff as well as the three cars we have, and. Actually, we're getting two more of Mac Johnson's cars here tomorrow morning. We have to go get them. And Jay Milton's ASA late model car is also here, so we have plenty to do other than our stuff. But, yeah, that's all I do is fabricate, weld, car setup, whatever is behind the scenes, you know.
Yeah, so when you're out on the track, you know what's going on in that car.
Yeah, I'd like to think I do.
Yeah, okay. Well, but you at least can communicate in the right language to the people back in the pits.
Yes, sir, and that's one of the things my dad's been working into me.
Yeah, that's cool. So you, go ahead, Jerry.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you. So Jay Middleton's, you guys handle his ARCA car, and is he close to getting back out there? Just as an aside.
Oh yes, sir. He we're actually working on it right now as we speak. I just got done, and Jay just left actually, but yeah, we just got it a couple weeks ago now. And his next race is also the same weekend as we go to Birmingham. He's racing in Kentucky.
Oh, that's cool.
And we're just going through the car with him, and we're actually putting the valance on right now, and just a little stuff. We're going to make sure it's squared up right, so he can go off and do that and have fun.
That's cool. Jay's a good kid. I like Jay.
He's a really, really good guy. We, the Reality Racing TV show, we actually got to know Jay better through that, and he's brought his cars here so we could help him out, and in return he can help us out, and he's a really cool guy, and the whole Milton crew there is really fun.
Yeah, that's neat. Go ahead, Jerry.
I was going to say, you couldn't have a better teacher than your dad as far as what to do, when to do it, and how to do it.
Yeah, sir, I've heard a lot of stories about him throughout the years, you know, it's kind of weird being his son, and you know, because you look at your dad as, you know, the dad, but he's also an amazing race car driver and has more knowledge than anybody I know. And it's really cool to hear all the good stuff people have to say about him and just all his knowledge in racing and actually be a part of what he's doing with me and trying to share the knowledge and learning from him. And it's just it's cool working every day in the shop with him, and he don't like to hear this, but every day I learn something new from him, and it's just really neat.
Yeah, He might act like he don't want to hear it. He wants to hear it.
Yeah.
But when you were out traveling around the country as you were growing up, and your dad's out there racing in the ASA and these other big events around the country, is there any experiences like that really stand out as like really special that you remember really good?
The only races I when I was really young back in the All Pro days, every time we went to Nashville. He's in Nashville. It was a lot of fun because we used to park our motorhome in the same spot, and I remember went there a couple times, and I don't know, that just the trip, the whole Nashville trip was really cool. Other than that, I mean, I was still young. In All Pro days, I only got to go a couple races, but Nashville's one I really remembered, and I always was able to go there.
So. Yeah, that's cool. Now, is your dad teaching you the ins and outs of running a racetrack, Bronson Motor Speedway?
Yeah, the ups and the downs, in the ups and yeah, I guess so. I'm just kind of sit back and watching how they do it, and they, you know, their frustrations and when things go good and how they're happy. But yeah, I guess I try to stay behind the scenes there and not get too involved and stay in the shop and. Do my thing there, but
there you go.
One of the stories I can tell you about when I was listening to your dad's radio was he wasn't handling well at all. Let's just put it that way. He was having a bad day handling, and he told the guys on the radio, he says, I need to put he said these tires that you put on were really crappy, and I'll clean the language up a little bit. Was really crappy, and somebody on the radio, a crew chief or whoever, says, we put on the specially matched tires, like the Days of Thunder?
Days of Thunder, yes, sir.
Yeah, specially matched tires, and they're matched perfectly. And there was a pause on the radio, and your dad got on the radio and says, well, you know what? I'm going to put these specially matched tires right into the wall if you don't fix it.
He actually says that to this day, just messing around the racetrack. So.
Oh, really?
I know where it comes from now.
There you go.
Nashville at the 400, and I was listening to all the Florida drivers' radios that day for whatever reason. I wasn't in Florida at the time, but... Uh-huh. But I was listening to your dad's radio, and I heard that.
Yeah, that's cool.
I died then, and it's still funny to this day.
All right. So, Travis, tell you what. Now, who was the sponsor again? Let's give them that was the Grubbs Emergency?
Yes, sir. Grubbs Emergency Services.
Yeah.
They do cleanup from hurricane cleanup to ice storms to any, you know, natural disaster.
All right. Well, and they're your major sponsor on your ASA car. That's pretty cool, man. Because you know, there's a lot of people out there in that ASA deal that don't have sponsors. So that's good you got one. Because
very fortunate.
Yeah, absolutely. And
what happened to the Florida auto auction? Or no?
I don't know what that. Yeah, that was an old one. But Travis, we wish you the best at Birmingham, man. And it's great to see you in that series. I think you're made for that series, I think, you know, because it's about being consistent and performing on a consistent level. And from watching you over the last few years, I think you got that part down.
Yes, thank you very much. And I believe it's going to be good, and we're really looking forward to it.
All right.
If you have your dad's genes in you, any kind of racing genes, you'll be a champion in the ASA soon.
All right, Travis. Travis Cope, thank you very much, Travis. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Hey, Travis Cope, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
How about that?
Another young gun.
Yeah, another young gun with a lot of experience. Terry, we're going to go to another quick break, and we're going to come back, as promised, with Mr. Media.
Yeah, I can't wait for this.
I know. We'll be right back in a minute.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Truly the long arm of the law at the movie theater. You and a velvet rope are all that keep the huddled masses from a free flick.
You're the man now.
Ever vigilant, you boldly demand to see our stub. Getting a little personal, don't you think?
Can I see your stub?
Who's the guy in the military-style uniform that would make any third-world dictator proud? Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper, that's who.
Salute the general.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Stubmaster, because you really tear it up.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neons. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton. Andrews Dodd.
Sean Bass finished fifth tonight in the Florida 100. Sean, one of your pit crew guys said you probably had a shock problem there towards the end of the race. Car looked really strong.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. We were a little tight at the beginning of the race, and then all of a sudden it started freeing up. The car got better, better, better. We fell back to like 14th there. We started working our way back, and we followed Jason Boyd the front, and there at the end, about 30 to go, I don't know what happened. The car just started vibrating so bad and everything on me down the straightaway and through the corner. But I did all I could do, and I'd like to thank my crew, all my sponsors, Florida Landscape Service, Rinaldi Heat and Air, and Jeff Moyer, all them guys, they worked their butt off during this.
Sean, go get you a cold drink of water. Congratulations, brother. Great run.
Thank you, man.
All right, Sean Bass. You're in the top five, finishing fifth in tonight's Florida 100 ASA race here at New Smyrna Speedway.
All right, we're back here at the ASA Fast Lane. Jack Smith, Terry Wall. And that interview that you just listened to, that was Sean Bass, who just happens to be the current points leader in the ASA Southern Division. And that was an interview Rick did. Rick Angies, who's just joining us now. Went to New Smyrna, a bit of a skeptic. Welcome to ASA Fastlane, Rick Angies.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me on the show tonight.
Yeah.
Rick, a skeptic? No way.
Not me, right?
Nope.
Well, this is the guy we call the media guy now, and he's been doing this a while. He's an announcer at DeSoto Speedway, where the ASA is coming to later in the year. And tell us a little bit about how you know your skepticism and how it all worked out, Rick.
Well, we went up to New Smyrna to see the ASA. I'd never seen the ASA before. And we got there a hot day, and we're standing up there watching practice. And I looked at Jack, and I said, whoa, these guys are slow. And I didn't think this would be much of a race, but as he said, well, what you got to do is you got to wait till the race starts. Well, I'll tell you what, when the race started, these guys weren't slow, and they were competitive, and it was a hell of a race.
No doubt about it.
No.
Well, slow is relative. You know, me and Jack are slow.
Yeah, well, I'm not and speedy either.
So, yeah, I mean, they are under horsepower compared to some of the stuff you've seen there, Rick, as far as motors go.
Right.
But they rode through the corners just as good as the late model, super late model.
Oh,
I
no
think.
Doubt. Actually, better, Terry. And, I talked to Don Narone, and what Don said, yeah, they're under horsepower, but they're under tires also.
Right.
They got to get more up on the wheel. to drive these cars.
Right.
Which makes it more competitive. And, yeah, Terry, as far as going into turns, you know, we talked to Brandon Johnson up there at the race. After the race, the kid was really excited. But what he said was, you know, and we talked to him on our Real Racing USA show, too.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that this car was, it was just so amazing there, you know, with the new surface and everything in New Smyrna, that he could get into the back into the gas so much quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hold it down all the way down the backstretch. So, and to be very honest with you, you know, once the race was going, I really didn't, you know, 28 of those guys out on the track, I really didn't notice any difference than watching, like, the Governor's Cup or something, really.
Right.
As far as the competition, you know, the beating, the banging, side-by-side racing the whole 9 yards.
Yeah, you also talked to Tommy King, who hit the wall a ton in it wouldn't have mattered whether he was in a super late model or an ASA crate late model, you know?
Right. You know, and he was not a happy camper, but still, I mean, and like Jack just said, you know, Tommy hit the wall really hard. There was a couple of wrecks that if they had been going faster, it would have been really, really devastating.
Yeah, no doubt. We had some interesting news come out of the ASA official's office today, Rick. After the event, you know, remember they pulled the motors out and took them up to Michigan or wherever they take such things. Jason Boyd, who originally finished third, was disqualified for unauthorized alterations to a sealed crate engine and has been suspended indefinitely.
Absolutely. I saw that on Karnak and also on the ASA website. Now, you know, I've got questions. I had questions that night because, I mean, Jason was flying. I mean, no doubt about it. Jason was flying. He was, you know, moving all the way up. He moved through the field. You know, he got that flat tire on lap 17 and came all the way back up into the top five, battling Jeff Choquette for the second position. But the thing, you know, the other thing was that, you know, a lot of people were questioning that, oh, man, he's too fast, blah, 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 blah. But then again, Brandon Johnson was never really challenged. You know, once they'd get five laps in after a caution flag, he was gone too.
So oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm really interested to know what they found in that motor. You know, whether they tore it down, whether it was just, the, you know, put it on the dyno, too much horsepower, or what. Because, see, and this goes way back to when you and Bill did an interview with Fred Hawkins, a local race car builder down here in the Bradenton, Sarasota area, who said, has always been vehemently against the crate motors, which there's a lot of people in Florida against the crate motor deal, said that it doesn't matter if you got them sealed, you got special bolts, whatever, people are going to alter these motors. So, you know, that's the big question. And right now, according to the ASA, you know, we're sure it wasn't Jason Boyd, because Jason Boyd's just a wheel man, but somebody got into that sealed motor. And now at pre-tech, they checked every one of these motors to make sure the seals were on the motors. So somehow, some way, somebody, according to the events that have occurred today that have come out of Michigan with the disqualification of Jason Boyd, somebody has opened the motor up.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right, though. Brandon Johnson, he was hooked up all night, as he said, on a rail. And Jeff Choquette, remember, Jeff said he tried to follow Johnson's line, and Jeff is no slouch behind the wheel, as anybody who's been around knows. And he couldn't run the same line that he was running. He couldn't keep up with him.
Oh, no way. Jeff was happy with his second-place run just because he said, man, that 41 was just gone. There was no way anybody was going to catch him. You know, but once again, this opens a whole can of worms with the, you know, the crate motors and stuff. But to be very honest with you, I think the ASA series is probably one of the most professional series going right now. You know, they got all these young guys in there, a few old guys scattered in there, and these guys got their deal together.
Absolutely. You know, Terry and I spoke earlier in the show with Gary Montag, who was someone you know, and he was doing his first officiating with the series. He was absolutely impressed. He said he had never worked with any organization that was that on the ball, something to that effect. Isn't that what he said, Terry?
Yeah, and the thing is, the ASA, I think, I commend them as far as their crate motors and their tech inspection and everything they're doing to keep it on an equal playing field. And, Rick, you had mentioned the gentleman in Florida hated the crate motors.
Right.
But, yeah, when you get to a situation, I've been to a Governor's Cup where there's only been 19, 20 cars show up. And you're getting, there was 39 cars at New Smyrna,
right,
I understand,
right, exactly,
showed up. And that's the difference, because there's people that can be competitive on a budget they used to run street stocks on.
Right.
And I commend them for the crate motors. And I think ASA's on the ball, because obviously the person that tampered with Jason Boyd's motor didn't think they would get caught, or they wouldn't have done it.
Well,
and,
I'm 100% convinced that Jason Boyd did not know that that motor was tampered with, because, I mean, I spoke with him for quite a while after that race, and he was one happy camper.
Oh, I feel so bad for him. I really do.
Jack talked to him after he qualified. And, you know, his qualifying run really wasn't that far off anybody else's run. You know, Sean Bass was right there, I mean, within a couple hundredths, maybe a tenth.
Right, right.
You know, and you know.
Well, he knows that track better than anybody.
Right.
Any of them guys in that field, any of them.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, even Wayne Morris and Jeff Choquette and Sean Bass and those guys who have some experience at that track, Chris Fontaine, some of the other ones, nobody, Dalton Zier, none of them have the experience anywhere near what he does.
Yeah, well, he's driven that track in more than just a late model, you know, super late.
Driven in everything.
Open,
modified, sure.
Street stocks, I mean, everything.
Yeah, he's driven it all, man.
Yep.
Driven it.
Jason Boyd has all the experience in the world, but if he can't run a car that he knows is legal,
it comes back on him, no doubt.
Exactly. And yeah. And Rick, you said you're sure that he didn't know. Well, the only person's name is on the DQ list is Jason Boyd.
Right.
Yeah, which is
I'm not sure how the ASA done it, whether the car owner is also suspended indefinitely from the series. I don't know how that goes, but, it's coming all the way down now, you know, with racing in the big leagues, where they're paying a lot more attention, and they're the if you get caught, it's a lot more severe. I mean, look what they've done, in NASCAR. Yeah, you've just had two big names. It wasn't just some backmarkers that got busted, and they're paying a penalty, man. They got, the money-wise, $100,000 is nothing to them. But when you start yanking points and yanking crew chiefs away from them, that's going to make a difference in the way it goes. Now, Jimmy Johnson last year, they yanked his crew chief, which I think should have got a more severe penalty because this is his second infraction.
Wasn't it that he on probation?
I'm not sure if he was still on probation or not. I think that probation was over. But
yeah.
Irregardless, I mean, there's six races, without their crew chiefs. But, in all reality, the crew chiefs are going to be at the shop and they're going to be coaching and all that stuff.
Sure.
But still, 100 points is 100 points when it comes to running for that championship.
So, Rick, let's switch gears here. What were some of the other observations from your visit to the ASA race at New Smyrna?
Well, let me tell you what impressed me the most that Saturday. Hot, hot day. I mean, it was miserably hot when we got there. We're up in the tower. We're watching qualifying, and Dylan Oliver smacked the wall. I mean, the thud. I wasn't really paying attention to the track, but the thud was just, it made everybody look, and he flipped over coming out of turn number four. The car just slid all the way down the front stretch. You look at the car, I got a bunch of pictures on Karnak from that, and you look at the car on the track, and it's just totally destroyed. And the next thing you know, after we leave the tower, we're down in the pits, and there's his crew putting this car back together. And not only did they put this car back together, they rolled it into tech, and they put the templates on it and everything. It passed tech. He rolled it on the track as the rest of the field was rolling out because he had the provisional, he had a provisional start, and he finished 16th in the race, ran the whole complete race. That was my most impressive thing, most impressive thing at New Smyrna this past Saturday.
Yeah, it was. It was a lot of, you know, and Joey Clanton was hanging around there giving some encouraging words.
Well, there was a lot of veteran people in the pits that a lot of people didn't see. And, you know, with David Wilson, there was Dickie Anderson. You know, Mike Cope was there. I mean, a lot of people were.
Edward Howell.
Yeah, and, you know, the 14, I believe it was Cody Smith in the 14, A.J. Foichkar.
Yeah,
right.
You know, there was the number 5 car. I can't recall the kid's name right off the bat, but Hendrix has an interest in.
Oh, that's Wes Burton's car.
Right. Hendrix has an interest in there. I mean, there's a lot of people paying attention to this ASA series. So, you know, a lot of these guys are coming in. But overall, a lot of cautions in the race, but to me the cautions were not long except for one red flag where they had a bad wreck up there in turn number one. But the race moved along at a pretty good pace. A lot of competition. You know, even though Jason Boyd got DQ'd, it was a thrill watching him run back up through the pack. And overall, I give it an A.
Yeah, there you go. And Sean,
well, for somebody who was going in a little skeptical, I guess you came out okay then, huh?
Oh, I can't wait for him to come to DeSoto. I talked to quite a few people Saturday night about the race coming up at DeSoto, and they're all really excited about it because it's going to be a whole different animal from that big half mile down to the 3A high bank at DeSoto.
Well, this is something interesting, and you and I had a conversation with Don Nerone at the track prior to the practice. Well, they were out there practicing, and I think this was sort of touched on. You know, if you look at the Southern Division standings after this race, and keep in mind that Matt Prier told us a couple of weeks ago, Terry, that the thing that surprised them most about this year in the ASA South, they did not expect this influx of drivers. It's way more than they expected.
Right.
Now, Sean Bass is leading the points, and he's got like 40-point lead on Chris Fontaine. And then you go back another 30 points, and there's Jeff Choquette. And then you go back a little bit more, and there's Brandon Johnson, who won the 200-lap truck race at last year at Orlando Speed World.
Exactly. And
then you go back one more, there's Rob Partlow. You got to go all the way back to 6 to Dylan Oliver before you get somebody outside of Florida. And then you go back to 7th, you got Wayne Morris. Behind him is Dalton Zier. Then you got South Carolina's Jimmy Lang, who we tried to get on tonight, but we're going to have him on for our next show. And then Brian Bloom, another Florida guy. So this thing is Florida dominated, and it's amazing when you look at Bass, Fontaine, and Choquette up there. This could be any other series in Florida.
Yeah, well, then, you know, 12, 13, Travis Wilson, Tommy King, Dustin Dunn right there, David Wilson. I mean, Wes Burton, you know, all within the top 20, all, you know, within a couple hundred points, you know, of the leader right now, and we're only in race number 3.
Yeah, and what did Don say? Maybe those guys don't—they know how people outside, like they know outside the state of Florida how tough some of these guys are. I mean, there's
well, you know, and as Don has always said all along, them guys up north don't want to come down and race with these guys. Yeah, you know, I mean, he said that all along. He said the late model drivers in Florida are the toughest in the country. And from what I've seen, I mean, I've never gone to a late model race up north, so I don't know, but I have seen a few north-south challenges.
Well, there's the Snowball Derby.
Yeah, the Speed Weeks at New Smyrna and Speed Fest at Lakeland. You know, it's straight-up hardcore racing with our guy.
And Clay Rogers from North Carolina is, you know, one of the best short-track racers in the country, and he always says that, you know. Yeah.
Well, you know, and the third race of the season, and with 3 races under their belt, they've had 64 cars sign in for 3 races. So,
and it's going to get worse next year, according to what Jack was telling me, Rick. There's like 13, 14 teams that are not racing ASA at the moment that are going to be racing ASA next year.
And, Terry, that's not worse. That's better.
Well, and you know, they took a format that was similar to Hooters Pro Cup with the North-South deal and threw in the Challenge deal. And, I mean, there's some serious money out there for these guys, too.
Yeah, and so the next 3 races should be interesting. There's Birmingham International Raceway and Crimson 125 on that 6.25-mile track out there in Alabama. That's on July 14th. Then there's the big trip up to, actually, Bristol is on the 11th, or on the 4th, but Bristol is not a Southern Division race. It's a challenge race.
Right.
The following week is Orange County Speedway in Rougemont, North Carolina, which is up there around Raleigh, and that's a 3/8 mile a track. And so then they got to go come back to Georgia. But, you know, maybe some of these teams won't do so well, and Florida teams may not do so well in North Carolina or Birmingham. Like that young kid, the 14 of Tyler Townsend from Texas.
Right.
They're racing this weekend at Birmingham in the late model race up there just to get some practice time in ready for the 14th. So,
well, yeah, and the deal with is that, you know, this is real short track racing too. You know,
right.
Nothing over a half a mile, semi-bank, high-bank races, just good stuff here.
24 cars on DeSoto Speedway.
28.
It's going to be excitement.
28
cars. And not only that, see, that night, the thing that a lot of people probably don't know yet, that that's October 5th and 6th, is C-Fest weekend. So not only are we going to run the ASA, we're running the Hoosier Cup All-American Challenge Series that same night.
Wow.
So we got 125 laps of the ASA, 125 laps of super late miles. And the thing that we're looking at DeSoto is a lot of these teams have super late models.
Yeah, Choquette will be doing double duty. David Wilson, I would imagine, will be doing double duty. There will be several of them, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Fontaine, maybe? I don't know.
Hold everybody, Rick.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I talked to Bert Thomas last night, the race director for ASA. He was out there. He was at DeSoto yesterday. They were staking the place out. They got... The ASA is going to have the complete back 40. They're going to, you know, everything is going to be, that's all ASA back there. Their tech and everything will be back there. So they got, the whole back pits is theirs.
Right. Where are you going to put the super late model?
We got a whole front pit, man. The pit in DeSoto is huge. And see, on Friday night, we're going to qualify the supers and the ASAs. Plus, we're going to have a whole car to race in, 50 laps of open wheel, street stocks, bombers, mini cups, pro challenge, all that on Friday night. Then Saturday night, it's the ASA 125, the Hoosier Cup All-American Challenge Series 125, pure stocks, bombers, modified minis, magic pours. I mean, this is going to be a hellacious weekend of racing in Bradenton.
You know what the best thing about it is?
What's that?
It's close to my home.
Oh, no doubt, man.
And on that note, Terry is going to be going down to Birmingham, Rick, and covering the he'll get an up-close and personal look at this whole deal himself. He's been doing this show, and he hasn't been to the race yet. This week, in 2 weeks, he's going to be going.
You're
going to
love it, Terry.
Yeah, I can't wait. I've seen the old ASA when I was around with Mark Martin and Rusty Wallace and Alan Kowicki and Dick Trickle and all them guys were running the old ASA. I've seen a few of those races.
Yeah, I saw and, I saw some of the old ASA, well, not so old ASA with Petty and Cope, and actually saw, you know.
You were there at the DeSoto race when Jimmy Johnson was a rookie that year. He was Rookie of the Year in that deal.
Yep, sure was.
The pavement being piled up. We were talking about that with Gary. The pavement pulling up as the race went on.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that paper pulling up kind of put us on the map.
Then there was the ASA race. One of the last races that the old series put on was at Lakeland when they had the funky car numbers. Remember, Mike Cope was in that one. And we talked a little bit ago with Travis Cope. We did a little spot with Travis, Rick, and that was pretty interesting, you know. And you know, he traveled with his father during the days that he was out there racing. And you know, as a matter of fact, he said he spends his time these days working in the shop. That's what he does. He works, does everything there is in the race shop, just finishing up working on Jay Middleton's ARCA car.
Well, there you go.
It's pretty cool.
Yep.
All right.
We'll that next.
So, Rick.
Yeah.
I'm going to get to a brass tack question here.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Why do you think there is no women race car drivers in the ASA?
Why do I think there's no women?
Terry's really hung up on this women racing issue, isn't he?
Yeah, you you know, that's a very good question, Terry.
There is. We had Allison Quick, who races in the North Division, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, she raced in one of the challenges. I could be wrong. I think she raced in one of the challenges, but she definitely races in the Northern Division. Her name is Allison Quick, and we had her on the ASA Fastlane not too long ago.
That's a valid question, Terry, because 64 teams, and that, you know, I mean, in Florida alone, we've got four or five limited late models, you know, young ladies driving limited late models.
There was a we had an interview on last week's show that they're preparing a 16-year-old driver who's winning in the Truck Series. The name escapes me at the moment, but they're preparing her to run ASA next year. And I would love to see a woman successful in the ASA.
Yeah, I mean, it's the series. It's really a series, and a lot of these teams are figuring out that this is a good series to start a younger driver out. I mean,
right.
You know, it's not mini stocks, it's not street stocks. These are full bore race cars. You know, but
right.
Yeah, there's Terry and I said a long time ago when we were working with BJ and some of the other youngsters around Florida that there was no sense fooling around with street stocks and mini stocks. If you were serious about this deal, you might as well go straight to a late model and start learning.
There you go.
Right. Right.
But, you know, the thing about this one is these aren't the high-powered machines that the super late models and the super late models or even the limited late models. They'll have a little more control, and like Don Nerone said, they're under-tired, basically. They're a harder Hoosier tire, so they got to get up on the wheel. They got to drive them, and it's a great learning curve for these kids, and it's just an awesome deal.
Well, the thing is, too, we were talking to the first gentleman. I can't think of his name already, but
Gary Montag
this weekend for ASA. What was his name?
Gary Montag.
Gary Montag, and he agreed with me on one of my points that we were talking about the 12 caution that they had at New Smyrna, and he did contribute maybe to some inexperience. That the younger guys are trying to overdrive the cars at the beginning of the race.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you agree with that, Rick?
Yeah. You know, definitely some of the kids were, you know, overdriving and trying to get her done on the first few laps. And it was also a lot of just hard racing, too.
Yeah.
Well, there ain't no doubt there's a lot of hard racing.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to see hard racing, wait. I may make a trip down to DeSoto on October 5th.
Oh, we'll be looking forward.
That's my birthday, so I need to reward myself for that.
There you go.
All right. So.
All right, Rick. Anything else, man?
No, that's about it for now, Jack.
I was going to ask you just a minute ago, did you take the Michael Waltrip School of Advertising and Marketing?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay, because you were rattling off everything that's going on at DeSoto.
Well, yeah.
He cannot help it. He cannot help it.
Part of the gig, brother.
That's right.
Yeah, I know.
All right, Rick. Good talking with you, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right.
We'll be talking to you soon, Rick.
All right. We'll be in touch.
All right.
All right.
Rick Angies. All right. Rick Angies, the announcer at the DeSoto Speedway, and he's also the co-host on Tuesday night's Real Racing USA Live. And
you know what? When I first met Rick 10 years ago, I think he was very quiet and reserved, but he has turned out to be a good broadcaster.
And no doubt about it, and he's got an eye for the news.
Huh?
I appreciate that.
He's still on.
Yeah, I didn't cut him off yet. I didn't cut him loose. I'll cut him loose now. We'll see you later, Rick.
All right.
We'll see you now.
All right,
so we've covered a little ground here. We talked to Gary Montag. We talked to Travis Cope. We have a few little spots here with Dylan Oliver and Sean Bass and Terry Roberts. Terry had a lot of good things to say about the race. Terry Roberts, the general manager at New Smyrna Speedway, they enjoyed it. They look forward to the ASA coming back and next South race. Terry, I'll tell you what, Terry, next week is 4th of July week. As a matter of fact, the next Wednesday is the 4th of July. I think we're going to do a couple of, we're going to pre-record that show, and I think we're going to do that tomorrow.
Okay.
And just so that it's in the can, and we can all take a well-deserved vacation away from all this race and media stuff, which will wear you out, as you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I'll tell you, it's exciting.
And I'm so glad I got back hooked up with you, Jack, to get back involved with this thing. Slowly but surely, I'm getting my feet back under me. And
all right.
I do want to mention a new sponsor of the ASA Fast Lane is Power Master. They already do a little spot on Karnak, but they're going to be involved with the ASA Fast Lane now. In fact, we may have their representative on the show in the future.
Absolutely. And also, we need to talk. Go ahead. You need to tell us a little bit about Five-Star Racing Bodies.
Yeah, Five-Star Racing Bodies is out of Wisconsin. They make all kinds of bodies for late models, modifieds, and they also, as we learned in last week's interview with Corey Schultz, they also make some parts for the Nextel Cup car, which I didn't know. And so they're involved with the Nextel Cup and the ASA. If you want to get a hold of Five Star Bodies, it's 262-877-2171 and ask for Corey Schultz and tell him the ASA Fast Lane sent him to him. And
you can also, in this digital age, go to Five Star Racing Bodies on the web, man.
On the web, fivestarbodies.com.
There you go. And
Well, Jack, it's been a pleasure, and I want to thank you again for giving me this opportunity.
Man.
I really appreciate it, and I can't wait till next week, even though we're going to have a short week on the deal. But
that's all right.
We'll be on at 8 o'clock next Wednesday night, and we'll be on all week.
All right.
Click on Karnak and click on ASA Fastlane, and you'll hear mine and Jack's voice 24/7, even if you don't want to.
That's right, even if you don't want to. For myself, Jack Smith, and Terry Wall, hey, have a good 4th of July weekend, and hey, ASA, America's premier short track series. Good night.